Alrighty then.
Rise up!
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I must know.
Rise Up Radio.
Okay, good evening, America, and welcome aboard.
Rise Up Radio!
With John Bush.
I'm a man of respect around here. They love me around here. I'm a swell guy.
Rise up!
If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Rise Up Radio. And now your host, John Bush.
Ernest Hancock again. Hello. Hello, hello. Welcome to John Bush's Rise Up Radio. I'm going to fill in for him today. He had a baby. I guess we all know that he had a baby. You know, God, what was his name? William Lysander is what I remember. I know the middle name is Lysander. Is that right, Don? Yeah, William Lysander. You know, see? This is how you know when... It was 60s and 70s, and, you know, children are made, you know, named Moonbeam and Moon Unit and, you know, Sunshine and Rainbow and stuff, because that was the culture, you know, it just kind of, you know, it's cool. So now what are we doing now? Oh, William Lysander. Yeah, you know, people that know, know. Okay, so I'm you know, giving some time off. I'll get up at 4 something in the morning, you know, to help the brother out. So we'll just yak it today and go over some of the news and everything. I tell you one thing, declare your independence with Ernest Hancock, and you can do it all by yourself. Don't need me to do it with you. I declare my independence. See, easy, no government forms. The after this show, we're going to have 3 hours of declare your independence, and the first hour, you know, we'll just yak it, but in the second and third hour, we have two young men from Arizona State University that are part of what's called HeatSync Labs. You know, it's a hackerspace community. You know, one thing, Donna has been, my wife Donna, producer, she's been, you know, editor-in-chief of the E-Zine and female extraordinaire. She is very excited about this. She gave a lot of space in the E-Zine to this hackerspace thing. She didn't even know this kind of stuff existed. She's like, this is so cool. These guys are so cool. They're so cool. Because they're like the Asian guy, I can't remember his name, in Mythbusters, you know, the three young people that they had there doing it or whatever, how he was selected, other than being Asian, drum roll, is because he is really smart technologically in robotics. Okay, now this is something that, you know, I've always thought was cool. They have these robots duking it out, Robo Wars or whatever the heck it is, and the team that he was on did well, and they hired him. And then of course you had the, you know, pretty young girl and the other guy. And I don't watch Mythbusters as much as I used to back in the day, but you know, they got all the main myths that I wanted to get done. So what happened was, yeah, they haven't done that 9/11 thing, though. I wonder if they'd ever do that. The I don't know, maybe they did. Did they? I don't know. They should. So he was selected because he had a lot of electronic skills and remote control skills and so on, which, you know, it's good to have when you're doing this kind of stuff. And these guys are kind of like that. You know, let me go ahead and read the bio.
Glasses.
Chad Stearns and Ryan McDermott. Economics and math, student at ASU at HeatSync Labs. Analog electronics, woodworking, also plays the drums. Okay, got to get that in there. Ryan, the other guy, IT guy for a medium-sized company maintaining network and computer systems at HeatSync, one of the most proficient welders. Also does programming and robotics. Now, the reason we got hooked up with these guys, there's a hacker community that we're trying to work with because of our nanotube battery project. Those of you who don't listen to my show, I'll give you a little quick history on this. A good friend of mine is the nuclear power plant core fueling refueler supervisor guy out at Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant. And so it's like every, I don't know, 6 months, year, whatever it is, they got 3 reactors out there. So there's always, you know, he's in an outage at least once or twice a year, and maybe more. And they have to shut down one of the reactors, remove the fuel, put it into some pool thing over there. Then later they put it in what they call dry cast storage. It's just above ground out on the basketball court out there or something, some concrete cube or something. And, you know, so that's how they store their spent fuel. Now, of course, they'll come up with something to do it later, or, you know, terrorists come get it or something. I don't know. And so this is how they're dealing with it now. They're just storing it out, you know, what they call dry cast storage. And when they refuel it, you know, you go through that process and you put the rods and everything, crank bad boy back on. Well, he lives not too far from the plant because he didn't want to keep commuting and so on. So he moved out in the middle of the desert in a place called Tonopah. And if you go look Tonopah, Arizona, you'll see it's out in the middle of the nothing. Well, they're going to charge him $20,000, $30,000 for him to just hook up to the electrical grid. And he's like, you know what? I'll do it myself. So just out of economics and being self-sustaining, he kind of, you know, bite me. He lives in a nice 2,600 square foot home. He has like a garage that was turned into a studio apartment kind of thing. And he has a bunch of, you know, he got a couple of sea containers he's storing some stuff in. You know, he's got outbuildings for where his batteries go and tool shed and his backup generator. And then, of course, he's got his well and cell and satellite and sewer system and his own electricity. So he is totally off grid for like it's been 10 years. So I have, from the beginning, seen how he has integrated solar, primarily wind, and you know, backup generators into his life. And you know, some main things. One, everything's got to be LED. I mean, LED does not even pull on his power source. He's like, it doesn't even, you can leave all the lights on, man, and it doesn't even know. Then, excuse me. Then he gets all his communications, you know, satellite and cell and so on. And then he's living a pretty good life. I mean, you know, kids and everything. So he's like, you know, I'm good. Well, we learned a lot. I mean, and last summer, he got tired of doing this lead acid every 3-4 years. He's going, look, you know, zombie apocalypse comes. I can't get batteries, which is going to be a thing in the zombie apocalypse. He's like, I'm screwed, man. You know, I'm going to replace all these thousands of dollars every 3-4 years. He goes, there's got to be something better. So he keeps looking around, finds out they're called Edison batteries. Thomas Edison invented these. I mean, you know, it was a good decade or more that there was competition between gasoline and electricity. I mean, you know, which one's going to win out? You know, the development was getting, you know, more batteries. And finally, you know, Standard Oil, whatever. You know, you can go round and round about this. But what happened was they had a battery, the Edison batteries, nickel iron, and it ran on a base electrolyte, you know, instead of an acid. And so instead of lead acid, it's nickel iron with potassium hydroxide, which is really on the pH scale on the other side. And the properties of it is that it didn't go bad. I mean, you check the water levels in 15 years kind of thing, and you will them to your kids, you know, that kind of deal. They don't go bad in their discharge, recharge process. So why didn't they use them more? You know, I think it was a weight thing, you know, but for home storage of electricity, you know, it works great. But so they're finding out, you know, he was telling us when we were doing our cross country thing this last summer, Don and I went up to Montana, then over the Pork Fest, then down to Texas and visited John and Kat. You know, we went to Austin there and said, yo, what's up? Got to see their digs and everything. Then we came back to Arizona. Well, it was like 5 weeks that we were on the road that summer. And we went all over just to, you know, look at different communities like this. You know, this is, you know, do exactly what John and Kat are doing. You know, that really is what interests us. If Generation Next can eat better, feed themselves, take care of their children, you know, have children, breed the bad guys out, you know, what better way than to have, you know, a self-aware, conscious, know what's up activists like John and Kat having children, you know, that's how you win, you know, so we'll breed them out. Very cool. So when we come back, I'll go ahead and tell you what, you know, revelation we had and why we're having these hacker guys coming in today and a conversation I had with an ASU professor yesterday. Yeah. I'll share everything when we come back.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Rise Up Radio. You're listening to the Rise Up Radio Show.
I think I'm going crazy.
You're not going crazy, Arthur. You're going sane in a crazy world.
And now your host, John Bush.
With Ernest Hancock sitting in. Good morning. Good morning. I got to finish telling my story. So what happened was is that last summer as we were driving around, my friend Bob, living out on the Lone Prairie, doing his own energy and everything for a decade, decided he didn't want to have to keep, everything he's got self-sustaining, food, and he's all good. Except he had to keep every few years buying thousands of dollars worth of lead-acid batteries. There had to be a solution. You know, I don't know about lithium ion. They're really getting into all kinds of upgrades. I mean, it's amazing how much power my phone uses up and all the goodies and whiz bangs and how long it lasts. I mean, you're always whining about needing a charger and so on. But I'm like, wow. I remember back when all my toys ran on just regular old Duracell batteries that weren't alkaline. I mean, this dry cell. Back in the day, man, it was, so we're in a whole new world from that. But what Bob interested me in is he found the nickel iron batteries. And I remember reading, I had been waiting on carbon nanotube revolution since I read an article in Popular Science called, Buckyballs and Fullerenes and all this kind of stuff in Popular Science in August, I think it was, of 1991. And I was just so enraptured by all the capabilities of this material. Superconductive, extremely light, extremely strong, cheap, it's freaking carbon, give me a break. And all of a sudden, I realized what was going on immediately once I did this. I took and we were talking and we're on our trip across the country, visiting all these different hippie communes and different farms and getting together kind of stuff. And I started to realize the problem was not technology. The problem is how we interact socially. We had a group come over yesterday. Cindy Sheehan is trying to resurrect the anti-war movement. It's Tour de Peace. Instead of Tour de France, Tour de Peace. And she's coming through Arizona. Now, Charles Goyette and I have known her before she was, made infamous and famous, whatever, by the anti-war movement from the left perspective. But what a lot of people don't know is when she first started her activism and out there and Mom and I Want to Know What Noble Cause Is from Bush thing, she was writing for Lou Rockwell. There's quite a bit, Lou Rockwell, her talking about her thing. So she understands libertarianism. She's far more, progressive type. I wouldn't say, communist, maybe a little socialist, but she does not advocate the initiation of force. So she understands libertarian philosophy. No, I choose to go live on a hippie commune with me and my, closest socialist buddies, Right on. Rock on. Do what you want. It's called family, man. And have a nice day. As long as you can't put a gun to my head to make me fund it. I mean, I'm all good. So a lot of her followers and supporters and so on, they're starting to move that way. They're starting to, I tell you what, this big giant tsunami of, can we just not have the government in the way anymore? It's just like they're saying the majority of people now want to legalize marijuana. Well, gosh darn it, I guess we have to legalize it then. Screw all this RICO seizure, right violation, police state money crap and everything on even one person, much less, a significant minority. It's a majority now. See, the survey says, it's how they're thinking. So you can pretty much count on marijuana being legalized and that will start the avalanche of, just eliminate the drug war. And we'll see how that goes. But, majority survey says, so I'm whatever, get some moving on something. But, what happened was, is Cindy had been taken over by Move On and the left, and they built up this big anti, and I was in the middle of it. I went and did the Crawford, Texas in the Ditch covering for Air America when Charles and I had a show over there, and I was producing for him, and I had a show, and we were just, I get it. The left side, I find them to be Majority of the people in the audience were way more compassionate. You know, we wanted the same things. We wanted, you know, people not be hungry, people to be taken care of, medical care. I mean, all these kind of things. We just go at it a totally different way. So last night when they came over to kind of, you know, we're going to do a party here. They wanted to check it out. You know, going over the covers, I said, look, you know, here's 2 years of magazine and they explain the covers. This is healthcare. This is how we take care of that. It's how volunteerism does this. This is how, you know, what happens when you got disaster like, you know, Hurricane Sandy. This is what happens when you, you know, have people that, you know, are anti-war. This is what, you know, the positions we take. I mean, as we're going through this, you see we have the same goals, just a different way of doing it. Which starts right off, you don't put a gun in somebody's head and say, give me your money so I can redistribute it because I love you, okay? So they get an understanding. What surprised them is some of the issues that we had articles from Cindy Sheehan in. I go, no, we've known Cindy for a long time. Now, she's coming April 20th. I think it's 20th, 21st. It's Saturday. So she's coming through Arizona, and she'll stop here at the farm. We'll just have a big party and do a little fundraising, raise, I don't know, $400, $500, $600 or something, get her gas going next place, you know. So she's going to Washington doing a thing. Whatever. You know, somebody's doing it. You know, somebody's freaking doing it. You know, you want to do it? You got time to do it? You want to go out there and do it? You want to do it? She's doing it, and go do it. You know, it's the anti-war thing. Because her deal is, anti-war movement, unless you got a Democrat in there, Obama's in there, nobody's going to say anything. You know, it's just drones. You know, it's only a few children's, you know, splattered up against the walls at the wedding. I mean, you know, I'm just, oh. So anyway, so we're going to try and help with that and help resurrect some anti-war or something. So we're going to go ahead and work on that. And I like Cindy. She's good people. And, you know, we've got to know her through libertarian channels. Now, that's how it started. There are Gold Star families and everything. And then, you know, they saw a good horse to ride. So here comes the progressive guys. I'll tell you what happened. In Crawford, Texas, I was there when it happened. Alex Jones was there. We were, you know, all kind of. And I give Alex this. He was the only other journalist there that saw what was going on. You know, I'm going, I mean, you're seeing this, right? Yep. So it was, I got to give him props for that. You know, we were standing there. He was kind of antagonizing him a little bit. You know, I was more hanging out with him because I was there, America, you know. But what happened was MoveOn, the group, came in and they told her, look, no more immediate withdrawal thing. You know, kind of the Ron Paul deal before Ron Paul was saying it. She's like, no, immediate withdrawal. Done. We'll march it in, we'll march out. Done. They go, no. We pull everything, all support, all this. You'll be a pariah. We'll say how bad and evil and whatever, and you don't like kittens and whatever, if you don't start saying phased withdrawal. This immediate withdrawal thing, nope, we need phased withdrawal. She refused to do it. She saw where it was going. She was using them as much as they were using her. So she's like, nope, I'm not doing it. Boom. Done. Cindy sucks. What'd she do? Well, that was the election of 06 comes in, I think it was. And then Pelosi gets elected. She goes on to be Speaker of the House. And the first thing they do is extend the war funding. And we're like, right. See, that's how the war, like Vietnam, stopped. They stopped paying for it. So what happened was she's like, no, I'm not playing. They discarded her. She went to San Francisco, ran against Pelosi in the election. So this is why we're, you know, supporting her, you know, coming here. And I know I got off track. I got time. When we come back, I'll tell you, you know, why we're doing the hacker space thing and finish on the batteries and so on. But we're just yakking. We'll be right back.
A meme is not easy to define.
What is it?
But you know it when you see it.
Amazing.
Don't Tread on Meme.com proves that.
I feel so enlightened.
Don't Tread on Meme, M-E-M-E, helping you give the finger to our monetary system of deception by providing you with silver dime trading cards. Unlike today's dollar, they have value, and they look neat too.
Well, would you look at those? Aren't those just swell?
Don'tTreadOnMeme.com. While you're browsing their numerous silver dime card designs, take time to download the easy-to-use Silver Calculator app. This simple piece of technology lets you know instantly, whether using iPhone or Android, just how much your silver coin is worth. Find out all the details at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Now accepting Bitcoin. Don't Tread on Meme. your path to a voluntary society with honest money. Don't tread on meme.com, serving you faster than the Fed prints money.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
You're listening to the Rise Up Radio Show. And now your host, John Bush.
Or Ernest Hancock. The let me go ahead and finish the story here real quick. This is some of the events that are coming up. Tonight at, by midnight, usually, we have the publishing the first Friday of the month of the easing. This would be our 23rd, almost 2 years. So after we get a full 2 years, then we're going to start morphing it into the newsletter that will be covering a lot of things like John and Kat. You know, people that are, starting to raise families, living, more self-sustainable, more permaculture and kind of, we're not going to die. We know how to grow food and, take care of ourselves and build towards and leave us alone-ism. Okay? So that's what we're going to look at, the positive aspects of American life and the people and everything. We're looking for, we're going to work our own way out of this thing. Can we just get off, this merry-go-round, this rat race, this labyrinth of Leviathan, that blah, 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 blah. I mean, damn, yes, we can. That's my point. So in the process of, let's go about the events. We have the magazine goes out tonight. This one is about, pushing back. I think Donna put up all the magazine covers here. I'll go ahead and show them for you. Let's see what we got here. And, yep, that's this magazine cover. Those of you that are watching video, this is the magazine cover for this coming month. Now, what our heroine is doing is pushing back, just another brick in the wall, block in the wall, just, crap. It has represented in like rock wall, and each rock has its own, big brother checkpoint, Zuckerberg kind of stuff. Just pushing that back and revealing, a bright future, and it kind of has an, it's a alien world, but it's a, nice high-tech existence kind of, pace be upon thee. So, it's a nice cover, and we're just kind of, depicting the future. And the girl used in this is a duplicate, you can tell it's the same girl from our first edition 2 years ago. And so Scott Beezer resurrected her, and then, of course, we had Athena doing the rest of it. So it's, which Athena is an 18-year-old homeschool girl from, anarchist, atheist, anarcho-capitalist friend of mine that used to live here that bought a farm in Missouri and for the past decade been raising his girls on the farm. And they self-taught, themselves graphic art and writing and so on. A 16, 18-year-old girl trying to find something for Lana to do. Athena is doing this. I'm just really Generation Next from like a long time ago. I was thinking about my kids that are now having kids. So this is, I see it coming. And one of my son's really good friends from high school just had his first child. And it's just, now he gets it. So it's just where I'm really bright, feel bright about the future. So I'm not that worried. Saturday, tomorrow morning, we have the Arizona Breakfast Club, which is the first Saturday of each month. Now, that is going to be, there's a big Agenda 21 thing that, some libertarian activists are getting worked up with on some of the, Republican Tea Party, C4L kind of thing that's going on here in Arizona. But the East Valley, one of my suggestion on how to oppose these, bad politicians are being bad because they're bad. And I go, well, can you grow food? I'm just wondering. It's going to come down to food. And I go, what are the ordinances against and controls of, and they have and everything? Sure enough, they find out, your community plan and all this other stuff that was started back 20 years ago during this first, wave of this Agenda 21 thing, whatever you want to call it. They are, sustainable development. You hear that a lot. And what it is they get to determine what is or is not blight, and they take businesses and eminent domain stuff, and we get a bigger tax base if, and you kind of, all that, crap. All right. So I go, look in there, and you'll see where it ordinance. Oh, yeah, we got to change. No. Don't change the ordinance. Go to the city charter. And you just say, right here in your self-sustainable blah, 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 and you just add one paragraph, and nothing in here shall prevent the whatever, or regulate people growing food to eat and kind of trade and barter and sell and, and bite me. you know, just like what's going in some small communities in Maine and others. So I took those stories on Freedom's Phoenix and I sent them to all these guys. I go, look, there are other communities already doing it. This is what's happening. This is how, boom, they went on it. And once they touched that rail, it exploded in like 2 days. And I go, yeah, see, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people on this. So they're all over it. So they're going to be talking at the Breakfast Club tomorrow morning on what they're doing. One of the other young activists here that's, you know, in C4L and Republican Party, De La, whatever, and working with the students for and young Americans for whatever, you know, is Matt Papke. Now, he's a big Ron Paul-er kind of guy, younger guy, Marine, you know, that, you know, he's got some skills, good looking kid. And what he's doing is they have a light rail public transportation thing and they want to limit firearms on. So they're doing take your firearm to, you know, out on the town day or something that they're doing tomorrow afternoon. So right after Breakfast Club, we do that. We're also passing out a bunch of the stuff. Now, we already distributed to the media. You go, I mean, you just walk up, got a tube thing with the poster for Silver Circle. It's coming April 11th. So we went to the media, and you deal with them, email them, talk to them, get, okay, got on the schedule, got calendar, got, okay, good. Then we go and start distributing them all around Arizona State University and around local down there, putting up the posters that we have and then the flyers and all that kind of stuff. And then some other activists are coming Saturday Breakfast Club. They'll get distributed. We go down to Tempe where they're going to be doing their gun thing anyway. So we'll, you know, get a whole bunch of birds. So, all right. So we're doing that. Then we actually have the event, which is next, I don't know, it's Wednesday or Thursday or something next week. We're promoting it on Freedom's Phoenix here. It's April 11th. And a Silver Circle premiere here in Arizona. So we are just all over it. You know, we're like, man, we got plenty to do. But, okay, then after that, the following week, then we got Cindy Sheehan coming, you know, kind of start kickstarting this anti-war, somebody doing something, all right? So April's kind of busy. But in amongst all of that, we're still working on our stuff, like the batteries. So the battery, I created a lab because I could see what had happened with the space race. They probably, when I was a kid, man, I was born in 61. We landed on the moon, what, 68? So I'm, what, 7 years old? You know, 6, 7 years old, you're sitting there watching guys walking on the moon. You know, I'm like, you know, well, hell, you know, I'm going to be, then 2001 Space Odyssey was out around that time. Star Trek started. I mean, you know, seriously, I got to wait, you know, till I'm 50. You know, for private people going to 50? Seriously, 50? The year 2000 whizzed by and I wasn't 50? You know, I got, you know, now what? What the hell? You promised me all kinds of whatever, NASA, and you said, and pinky swear. How many gazillion satellites they got up and everything, and how many civilians are up in their floating hotel? You know, I'm just so sick of this. So Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, you know, from Amazon, Elon Musk, you know, the guy who made a gazillion from PayPal and so on. They're just doing their own space race. In fact, I had them quoted. Look, I went and, you know, I'm a smart guy. I go make a gazillion dollars over here so I can go to space. You know, all this over here, space. All this to fund space. I want to, you know, colony on Mars. If I die, I want it to be on Mars. Elon Musk, 80,000 people building rockets for it. Done. SpaceX, that's what it is. The Dragon capsule that's resupplying the space station. I'm like, all right, would you go to the space station? Who gives a crap about the space station? He's like, because they're paying me. I'm like, all right, cool. So he's big on batteries, too, for his Tesla motors. You know, all electric cars. It's got, you know, he has a deal. You buy a car from them. They have charging stations all throughout California. They want to do the United States. And he's going, you buy a car from me, you get free fill up. It takes 20, 30 minutes to do it. You go in, you know, go to the bathroom, go to a little restaurant, do whatever, you know, boom, you come out. Your car's fully charged for free. And it's solar charged, you know, the batteries in the thing, the transfers into and got, you know, thing. It's all free car. And, oh, man, you know, there's a whole bunch of people don't like that one, you know. So there, it's amazing what there is available out there. And the big thing was batteries. So when Bob is telling me this, I go, we're traveling, and Don and I are in the car traveling cross country, and I go, you know, I remember the nanotube thing, a lot of the properties. Yeah, I'm just wondering, nickel, iron, nanotube, 2 days before I searched it, Stanford University did exactly that, had enormous increase in energy density. I started doing some research, finding out who's doing nanotube research. It's DARPA and University of, and that's what I want to tell you when we come back. I talked to ASU professor yesterday, man, just really pissed me off. He's a nice guy, but I'm just, the circumstances, are you kidding me? All of a sudden, I'm going, you know, they're not going to do this. They're not going to do it. So we'll do it.
Rise up!
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious...
Rise up, radio!
With John Bush.
Hello. Welcome back to Rise Up Radio, Ernest Hancock. Okay. Yeah, I know John's like, damn it. You have just an hour. It's like, I was just getting going, man. Well... What I'm going to tell you about is if you listen to the show coming up in the next couple of, a few hours, you'll get, we have Heat Sink Labs, Hackerspace Communities. They're called, you know, tech shops. They have other ones called Gangplank. There's a lot of young people that are just like, you know what? I just remembered you're boring and I got legs. So they, you know, leave class, go from the lab school, and they just go do it themselves. You know what? I got this. That's all right. You know, I'm tired of, you know, asking professors for information. I can just, you know, look on my entire access to human experience and knowledge in my smartphone. No, you're full of crap. And I'm going over here. And I'm just going to go ahead and start doing on our own. So, well, that's what we did is I found out that Stanford University was thinking, a lot of people were thinking the same thing I was, is that the properties of carbon nanotubes when mixed in with a lot of other stuff, and then Tesla Motors with Elon Musk are finding out a lot of the multi-walled and single-walled nanotubes, hopefully, that I'm making over here. I did find out that they do have spectrometers that can give me the evaluate what I'm producing, different batches that I get, because black. I mean, you know, it has some traits that you can tell. It's different, it foams up and different things. But I'm just going, look, I need, you know, a gazillion-dollar machine to kind of do some testing on some of the stuff. Well, I found out what they do is you get the right kind of carbon created, and you just put it in a baby food jar or something and add some distilled water, and you start charging. Boom, you got a capacitor that has a lot of energy density, that yada, yada, yada. And I'm going, okay, we can do that. Matter of fact, I got an experiment sitting out there waiting for me when the guys come today. It's cooled down now. We can go in and check it out. I said, you know, I may have just saved the planet right here. Because what I'm looking for, I made the nickel iron battery. We were able to carbonize kiln ceramic posts, you know, like when you're baking ceramic cups and plates and that kind of stuff, because it needs something to survive the high temperature and be a core for the battery. So what I did is I carbonized it, you know, get the little nanotubes, hopefully, but it, you know, turns black and carbonized, and it's very conductive. So then I take and I plate that with nickel. Well, I just found out yesterday, a friend of mine comes in, he goes, I can see one of my poles. He goes, it's starting to turn green. How did it get copper in it? This is copper. You know, you got your nickel contaminated with copper in it. I go, oh my goodness. The lead I had to the actual post was copper. And when I was plating it, there's a small part of it was in the water. It contaminated. And when I go, that's why it started, when it started oxidizing, it started losing its capacity as a battery. And my, you know, density went down, and I have a battery tester thing, and it hooks up to your laptop, and I'm going, you know, I'm so glad you noticed that. I'm just like, well, what the heck happened? It was working fine, and then I go, huh. It was the copper contamination in the plating process. It's all this little crap you learn. So, but I'm really more interested in making the nanotubes. So I'm going, all right, where are people that, there's got to be somebody somewhere doing this. Well, yeah, they're all, we found out what was going on when they did the sequester. It's amazing when you find out this stuff. There was a, when they do the sequester, they start trimming off a little of the fat. You know, somebody doesn't get some money for whatever. And they go, you were doing nanotubes and now we're closed down because they didn't give us the money. And I'm going, they who? The government. This is what was going on. And I saw what was happening. A bunch of companies that were counting on government contracts to give them the resources to do the research at taxpayer expense so they can get a patent so the taxpayers can't do it themselves. Oh, that's how it works. Yep, of course. When you read science magazines, what do you see? It's like an advertisement for the military-industrial complex. Look at this great robot surveillance kick-butt, you know, blow-away device thing that I just invented, made a prototype, and put it in popular science, hoping military-industrial complex will give me a contract. Okay? That's what's going on. We were at the gun show this last December. There was a group, I don't know, it's called Armor 2 something, but they made a product called Rhino Hide. And Rhino Hide is carbon nanotube enforced Kevlar kind of whatever, you know, stops a M1 tank round in your chest thing, right? So I'm going, right. I knew they were full of crap out there. It was just a, you know, snake oil thing. I didn't even pay much attention to it. Well, a lot of my friends did. I was right there. Whatever. I didn't go over to, I already know what's going on. Yeah, because I understand how this stuff works. Well, they go, oh, man, Ernie, you got to check this out. You know, check. Okay, fine. Have them come on. Donna gets a spokesperson for the company to come on the radio. And we do, yeah, just look up Declare Your Independence Rhino Hide, H-Y-D-E, you know, Rhino Hide, and you'll get the show. What they were doing is they have all these retired admirals and major this and general what's his name and PhDs and so on and so on. And we are developing a carbon nanotube enforced bulletproof vest. Well, it was $1,000 for this vest. And the way they were making it sound, how much nanotubes they put, I said, you know what? I'll buy your freaking vest, torch the rest of the thing, and get what nanotubes left over and save me money I need from my battery. Kind of, you know, I want your nanotubes. I go, the way you're describing this thing, hell, man, I'll buy your damn vest just to get nanotubes out of it. Burn away the rest of the crap. Boom, I'm done. I'm in strips, put it in my oven, kind of, you know, what's left over. Thank you. Well, what we're really, yeah, that's what I figured. What they're doing is they're taking the byproduct of the process, and you get these multi-walled nanotubes like black dust or whatever, and they're taking, they're sprinkling it over the Kevlar, and they layer it, and it probably does give them some increased ballistics and so on. But what they're really doing is they want to get a government contract to continue the research that they can get and make and do, and now they have continuous threading of single-walled nanotubes, and the taxpayer paid for them developing, and then they patent it, and you don't get to do carbon. And I'm going, I can see what you guys are doing. You're using my money to develop this process, and then you're going to say, oh, it's all mine now. Thank you for playing. I go, it's carbon! Carbon! You know, seriously, carbon? You're going to tell me how I can, you know, make carbon? Nobel Prize goes to someone because they took pencil graphite, put it down, took scotch tape, put it on, say, you want to get a single sheet of graphite? Let me show you how to do it. They take the other tape and they go like this. Until they get thin layer, they go, boom, give me Nobel Peace Prize. That was it. You think I'm kidding? That was it. You want it, you take adhesive tape, scotch tape, and you put, you know, pencil lead on it, and you keep going like this, and you get single, you know, sheets of graphene, which is, you know, got all kinds of great properties they're going to do. And let's put it this way. Flexible screens on your displays. It's going to be, it'd be like a pen that's in your pocket. You pick it out, you unroll it into a tablet. Gets rigid, it has all kinds of color, you know, your screen is there, you know, touch screen, kind of do whatever, it's, you just roll it back up, put it in your pocket. Here we go. You know, you guys, what, you didn't know that? Okay, here we go. So I just put flexible screens, you know, Samsung is already doing commercials for it, and so on. You have no idea what's coming, but what I did is I said, you know, I'm not waiting like the space race before. They promised me and they blew it off. And it wasn't until some rich guys that were like me, that were inspired as young kids, went off, made $1 gazillion, and you're not doing it, you lying sacks of snot, I'm going to space, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it. Okay? And they can afford it. Heck, they've got more money in some country. So they just like, all right, well, here we go. So now they're just doing the same thing. Well, we need another decade. After they had 2.5 decades. I mean, they started discovering nanotubes and so on and how this worked in the properties of in 85 or something. I heard about it in 91. We're going forward to this, and now it's in DARPA and university, and kiss my butt. I will do it myself. How hard is this? Well, you know, it is kind of hard. You got to get the catalyst just right, and that's what I got my lab for. So I started looking for, is there a hacker community? Is there something, somebody, they call them maker communities, like a 3D, you know, robot kind of stuff. Where you have Cody Wilson is coming on at the end of the month. He's going to release, we had him on the show, the guy with the 3D printed gun, probably, gosh, 6-7 times trying to keep him alive. And he has open source 3D kind of whatever you want to put up there. We'll never take it down. We can make whatever and we'll print our way out of whatever. I'm like, very cool. He's got a fully designed workable handgun that they're just going to print. Here's the file. We will never be disarmed if you got a 3D printer. It's like in the Soviet Union. You got a printer. You can make pages. You know, you better hide that sucker because they're going to come get it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's over for the bad guys. It's over. It's just how this is going to shake out. And, you know, they're going to be using the dollar and threat, and North Korea is going to kill us. I mean, seriously, North Korea, that's your A game. So I'm going, all right. So that's why I want to do this anti-war thing, too, because this stuff needs to come to the, you know, damn. But peaceful solutions. So what we're looking at is an ability to start working with these young people that, and that's where Heatsink Labs, and then there's another hackerspace place called Gangplank, and they're coming in. So I go, look, I got this taken care of. Look at this lab, man. You guys doing this? Anybody want to learn about NATO? Anybody? I mean, golly, that's why I did this. Talk to the guy that was listed as the nanotube guy at ASU, the professor. You know what he does? He just goes around on a grant looking for nanotubes naturally occurring in the environment. Yeah, he just, he'll test that and that and that.